الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, this is the time of the year when we remind ourselves of the significance of the days of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days, and of course the day of Arafat. We talk about the Hujjaj, the journey that they have undertaken, or many still are going to undertake. We talk about the lessons we derive from Qurbani, the sacrifice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath. Allah has taken a qasam. Whereas Allah does not require to take an oath on anything. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite that, he has taken an oath in the Holy Quran on several things, highlighting the importance and value and significance of those things. And then he has a message after taking an oath in the various verses in which he has taken an oath. For example, wal asr. Allah has taken an oath on time, showing us how important time is. And then Allah has given the message that verily man is at a loss. And then of course the surah explains. Like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath, wal fajr, by dawn, fajr, walayalin ashr, and the 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah, according to most mufassirin, the first 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah. They explain it's not only the nights, the night and the days, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Allah has taken an oath on these days. So for you and I to understand and reflect that these days that are going to come very soon, in a couple of days' time, inshallah, Allah give us life and Allah give us the opportunity to observe these auspicious days in the best way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, as reported by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhumah, there is no action, good deed, beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than those actions done in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The moment the Sahaba hear this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, wala jihadu fi sabilillah? Even striving in the path of Allah? Rasulullah said, yes. Even jihad in the path of Allah, except if the person goes out in the path of Allah and he becomes a shaheed, he doesn't return home. And that's a different aspect. But these days in which righteous deeds, pious deeds, whether it is tilawat of the Quran, dhikrullah, tasbih, in one hadith says that akthiru, recite in these days, tasbih, glorify Allah, praise Allah, make the takbir of Allah, the tahleel of Allah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Ibadat done during these days, these nights, person is tahajjud during the first 10 nights, he gets, on each time he makes the ibadat, each night, he gets the sawab of Laylatul Qadr. Fasting, of course, not on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, that's the day of Eid, but the other days when a person keeps roza, then he gets a sawab of fasting for an entire year. And especially the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, depending on when the moon be sighted in South Africa, then we'll make out when is Eid day, when is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. The 9th of Dhul-Hijjah is the day before Eid. A person who fasts on that day, then his entire year's minor sins are forgiven, the past sins, and even the future sins, the year that is still going to come, the minor sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected brothers and elders, we can go into the lessons of Qurbani, the lessons of Hajj, the auspiciousness of these days. But the important thing is that Allah has afforded us an opportunity to bring some change in our lives. Otherwise these days will come and go past, and we think that we are doing very well in the eyes of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And how often I have mentioned, and especially for myself, that we need to fulfill the rights of Allah, Huququllah, and the rights of humankind, Huququl Ibad, which many times, or in most of the time, we shirk in our duties when it comes to mu'amalat, mu'asharat, the manner in which we conduct ourselves, the manner in which we behave, whether it is in the masjid, out of the masjid, at home, in our workplaces, our dealings, our conduct, our akhlaq, our character. Do we possess the qualities that Allah praises in the Quran? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا. These are genuinely the true believers. Do we have those qualities as a true believer? One person mentioned, he said, Maine bohat se insaan ko dekha, jis par koi libas nahi. I've seen many a person without having any clothing because of poverty. You go to many of the countries of the world with this famine, this drought, this poverty. They don't have even clothes to cover themselves. Maine bahut se insaan ko dekha jis par libas nahi. And then he says, Maine bahut se libas dekha jinke andar insaan nahi. I've seen many clothing people, but I haven't seen human beings within the clothing. Allah is so loving, Allah is so kind, and Allah is mentioned and reiterated in different verses the qualities of a believer, the type of conduct we should be having and displaying. Some person mentioned, Kun ka shajaratin musmira, be like a tree that is bearing fruit. Yarmiha an-nas bil hijara wa tarmiha bithamara. People throw stones at the tree, yet the tree gives back its fruit to the people. You are throwing a stone at the tree, and the tree is throwing back to you its mango, its apple, whatever fruit it is bearing. A believer should be like a firm tree. Another person mentioned, Kun ka shajarati sandal, the sida tree. Tu'attiru al-fa'sa allati taqta'uha. Look at the beauty of this. The sida tree, the person has taken his axe, and he's busy chopping at the tree. And in return, the tree is perfuming the axe that is penetrating into its trunk. It's actually giving out a fragrance. A believer is being rebuked, he's reviled. Yet he is going back and he's showing patience and he's being kind to the person who is being so harsh to and cruel to him. Rasulullah says, Sil man qata'ak, وَعَفُ عَمْ مَنْ ظَلَمَكَ وَأَعْطِ مَنْ حَرَمَكَ وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. Join ties with that person who severs the relationship with you. وَعَفُ عَمْ مَنْ ظَلَمَكَ. Forgive the person who has oppressed you. That person who has deprived you, you should give him his due, his share. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. Be kind to the person who is cruel to you. So these are the qualities that we need to remind ourselves of. We are believers. And Allah has promised that beautiful Jannah, so spacious, so wide, with rivers of honey and wine and milk. And Allah has explained the hura'een of Jannah, and the palaces and the homes of Jannah. And the life of Jannah, which is going to be forever and ever, is only bounties and bounties and bounties. And why is the Jannatis are enjoying the bounties of Jannah? Suddenly they will see radiance above them. And when they will raise their heads, Allah will remove the veil. Allah would have removed the veil between us and Allah. And then the people will be glaring and staring at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a long, long, long period. When they look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's countenance, Allah's nur, they will forget every other bounty in Jannah. But for all those things, we need to be genuine believers. Al-mu'min al-haqiqi, al-mu'min al-kamil. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in narration of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And this narration, slight changes or very small differences in the wording, appears 7 times in Bukhari Sharif. In which Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, he says, we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the various narrations, he explains, I was the Azharul Qawm, I was the youngest of all of them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throws a question, he poses a question to us. In this audience were all senior people, senior sahaba. People like my father, Umar radiallahu ta'ala. People like Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And so Imam Bukhari also brings a chapter of Babu Tarh al-Imam al-Masala, where the Imam poses a question to the audience. And this is also a methodology, a way of learning and teaching. What if you just give a bayan, people are listening. And sometimes, but we won't do it today inshallah, some other time, where the Imam will ask the people a question. So he asked a question, إِنَّ مِنَ الشَّجَرِ شَجَرَةً لَا يَسْقُطُ وَرَقُهَا إِنَّهَا مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He says, there is a tree. Rasulullah asked the Sahaba, there is a tree. And the description in this particular narration, the other narration given more descriptions, where he says that its leaves do not fall. And this tree is like a believer. In other words, the believer has the qualities of this tree. What is it? So the Sahaba were sitting there, all began to think and ponder and reflect. And their minds went into various trees that were prevalent in the forest, in the desert areas. And they gave a few answers which were not correct. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, young Sahabi, he knew the answer. فَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ. He was feeling a bit shy to give the answer. Why? Because he felt in the presence of my own father, seniors like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, I don't feel it befitting and appropriate now. Me as a young person, I must give an answer. So he remained silent. And Sahaba asked, Ya Rasul, what is it? He says, Innaha al-Nakhla. It is the date tree, the khajur tree. And after the congregation emerged and dispersed, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala is walking back home with his father and tells his father, oh my father, I knew the answer. So the father says, why didn't you give the answer, my son? He says, oh my beloved father, I was feeling shy in the presence of senior sahaba. Umar radiallahu ta'ala then says, oh my son, if only you gave the answer, it would make me so happy, more happier than possessing rare camels of the time. Because I would have been proud of you, that Rasulullah sallam, you gave the right answer, and perhaps you would have got the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nonetheless, the believer has been likened to a date tree. كَثْرَةُ بَرَكَتِهَا. Because of its abundant blessings. It provides shade like all other trees, but you find that the leaves of the date tree are huge. So they provide shelter, protection, comfort, brings coolness to the person in the desert area, in extreme degrees of heat. The heat is so intense, and the person is now sitting under the date tree, and he's getting some coolness, some comfort. Like that is a believer. He gives comfort to the others. The date tree gives off kajur, dates, which we relish in the month of Ramadan especially. And unfortunately in our towns, in our country, we don't see date trees as much as it is seen in the Arab countries. So if a person is standing at any given time under a date tree, then he will expect some dates falling upon him. So the date that we eat, the kajur, is absolutely juicy. Tibu thamariha. It is succulent. It is delicious. A believer, al-mu'minu ma'laf. You want love? The source where you will find that love, you go to a believer. He gives you protection. He'll assist you. He's generous. He provides for you his fruit. He nourishes your soul. Like how this date tree nourishes us. A believer nourishes another person, another believer, nourishes his soul. He reminds him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the person is all down, he's feeling depressed, and the believer will liven his spirits. Kalimatun tayyiba, he will tell him some kind word to make him feel good again. If he's experiencing some type of problem, he will try and assist to the best of his ability. This kajur tree is firm. Try and shake it, it's impossible. Like that, the believer is firm in his deen. He's not easily shaken. He's obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He fulfills the obligations that Allah has entrusted him with. Also mentioned that he is kind to humanity at large. The date tree does not differentiate between the person who is coming under it, whether it's a believer or a non-believer, Muslim or non-Muslim. A Muslim's heart is so large that he even provides for a non-Muslim. He even cares for a non-Muslim. If a non-Muslim is in need, a Muslim goes out and he assists him. He provides for him. Then we find that many trees in the world, what is their fertilization, manure? That what the cows are giving off. Yet despite all that, the tree is giving its best. People are breaking off the branches of trees, plucking the fruit, damaging the trees. Animals, birds are sitting on the branches. Sometimes the branch breaks. Despite all that, the tree has got patience. It is calm. As I mentioned, the kajur tree, the date tree, it has shows us the lesson of patience and sabr and steadfastness. The date tree never takes revenge like any other tree. It doesn't take revenge. It's not a burden on others. A mu'min is never a burden on somebody else. A mu'min does not harm others. تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ الْجَسَدِ إِنِ اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضْوٌ تَدَاعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّهَرِ وَالْحُمَّى. Rasulullah ﷺ gives the example of how believers are, how they should be, how they should be supportive of another believer, caring, compassionate, showing kindness, generosity, assisting, not reviling another believer, not using vulgar and abusive language, harming the person, hurting the person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before I explain this hadith, in another hadith, he makes dua for protection. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min khalilin makir. Well, I seek protection from a friend who is cunning. Makir, makar. And he explains, Ainuhu Yarani. This believer, this friend, of this friend, his eyes are watching me. وَقَلْبُهُ يَرْعَانِي. But his heart is observing me, waiting for me to slip, waiting for me to fall down, waiting for me to make a slip in life, waiting for me to get hurt. So it gives him pleasure. And Rasulullah explained, إِنْ رَأَى حَسَنَةً دَفَنَهَا. When this friend, in inverted commas, sees any good in me, دَفَنَهَا, he conceals it, he buries it, doesn't want others to come to know. Why? Then this friend will gain prominence, he'll gain fame and honor. He hides it, conceals it. وَإِنْ رَأَى سَيَّةً, if I make a mistake, instead of covering my fault, أَذَاعَهَا, he makes it viral. He broadcasts this mistake that I've made. Rasulullah said, oh Allah, protect me from such a person, from such a friend. Khalilin Makir. So in the hadith that I was explaining, Rasulullah says, you see the believers, how? فِي تَوَادُّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ, in their love, their compassion, their unity, their brotherhood, their caring. Like a body, if one limb feels any pain, the rest of the body, all the limbs will respond with sleeplessness at night, with fever. Person has got a toothache, or his eye is sore. He's gripped with fever the entire night. He's tossing and turning. He's unable to sleep. He says in the morning, entire night I couldn't sleep. Why? He said, I had a severe toothache. My head was paining. My body was paining. Exact like that. A mu'min should feel the pain when his Muslim brother and sister is feeling the pain elsewhere. But when we are going to quarrel and argue over petty, petty things in our lives, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away his nusrat, his divine assistance from this ummah. It is the month of Ramadan. The last 10 nights have begun. And Allah informs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that particular year that this night is going to be Laylatul Qadr. How excited is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He comes out to inform the Sahaba that prepare for this particular night is going to be Laylatul Qadr. فَتَلَاحَ الرَّجُلَانِ. At that moment, two people were arguing and quarreling. One owed the other person some money, and he was demanding his money in payment. And so he had raised his voice, and they were arguing and quarreling. Because of that argument, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actually made to forget that night of Laylatul Qadr. Rufi'a anni. It was lifted. My respected brothers and elders, we don't have to look at others. The problem with us today is we want the entire world to change, but ourselves. It is so common when we sit together, when we have discussions, we talk about fulan or fulan or fulan, see those people, see these people and everybody else, but ourselves. Of course, we are full of mistakes. No person is perfect here. But there must be a time in our life when we have to make this firm decision, resolution. Wallah, I am weak. Wallah, you assist me. I want to come to you with a clean and pure heart. Ulama explain also, the heart of the palm tree, the khajur tree, the date tree, it's white. You can check it up. Like that is the heart of a believer. The heart of a believer is pure. He's got a pure heart. He's got a clean heart. I've mentioned many times before, that because of probably new people here, on this Jummah occasion, for their benefit, and also it will serve as a reminder to all of us, Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali radiallahu ta'ala, a great Sahabi of Rasulullah, he embraces Islam right in the latter part of Rasulullah's life, right in the end. And he's known as Yusuf al-Hadi al-Ummah, extremely handsome, very tall in stature. And he sends his servant to purchase a horse. And the servant purchases the horse and comes back. So he asks him, how much you paid? He said, I paid 300 dirhams. 300? He said, yes. Good deal, good bargain he made. He said, you paid too less for this horse. Take me to the seller. So they're going. People ask, what are you doing? So now I'm going to pay more. Are you crazy? He goes. He tells the seller, how much? He paid you 300. I think I should give you 400. The seller is happy. Then he says, no, hang on. I think I need to give you more. Each time he said, I need to give you more. I need to give you more. Ulama have written, he paid 800 dirhams. From 300 dirhams to 800 dirhams. On the return, people ask, how much you paid? He said, I paid 800 dirhams. He said, you are majnoon, you are crazy. He says, no. Bayatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I pledge allegiance to Rasulullah sallam, when I put my hand onto his hand, when I embrace Islam, Iman, ala iqamati salah, wa ita'i zakah, wa nushi li kulli muslim, that I will establish my salah, I will discharge zakat, and I will be a well-wisher for every believer, for every Muslim. And I honestly feel that this horse, the value of this horse was much more. I have never seen any person in my life till today who has gone to that limits to pay the seller so much more. Maybe a little bit more, but not so much more. Like Jarir bin Abdullah al-Badri radiallahu anhu. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala sent Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, I'm interested in that girl, that particular house. I'm feeling shy. You go and put a proposal for me. Salman Farsi is standing outside. Abu Darda, his bosom friend, he goes inside, knocks on the door, makes salam, and he comes with a proposal on behalf of Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That family, they said, Amma, Salman, we're not interested in Salman. You are suitable son-in-law for us. And in the midst of everything, before Abu Darda could even say anything, he agrees. And the nikah is made. Salman is waiting outside. Waiting for now the jawab to come. Abu Darda will tell him yes or no. Or maybe yes, they're happy and you can get married. In the meantime, they get Abu Darda, the man who has taken the proposal, they get him married. He comes out. Ya Allah. Salman, please forgive. So what's the matter? He said, I went inside to get you proposed. They got me married. Razi, if we were in Salman's place, radiallahu ta'ala, what we would have done? You see, you're a liar. You went and said this and you said other things about me. Salman Farsi, radiallahu ta'ala, apologizes now to Abu Darda. He says, I'm feeling embarrassed. How could I ask for the proposal of a girl whom Allah has destined for you? The hearts were pure. Time has expired, my respected brothers and elders. Let us understand. Reflect on ayats of Quran and so many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and bring into our lives the qualities of a true believer to the best of our ability. We will make mistakes. Don't be like the person waiting to look for a fault. See, he was saying this and see how what he's doing. المؤمن أخو المؤمن يكف عن عنه ضيعته وفي رواية يكف عليه ضيعته ويحوطه من ورائه. Believers are brothers to believers. A believer, if he sees his Muslim brother's property is being affected, perhaps some fire or some flood, and the person is not there, he will quickly gather his goods. That's one meaning for يكف عليه ضيعته. He will protect his goods from being destroyed. And the other meaning, that the believer will never cause harm to and damage to the property of his Muslim brother. وَيَحُوتُهُ مِن وَرَأَيِ. And he'll protect him. He will protect his integrity also in his absence. People are talking bad of him. He will speak good of the person. I conclude, let us go home and reflect on the following words. That be a builder, do not be a demolisher. We need to build this ummah again. We've forgotten many lessons. We all are weak. But we need now to become true builders instead of demolishing the ummah and then seeing the results that what we are seeing in the entire world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.